Beloved, welcome. Welcome to worship here at St. Stephen's today. We are delighted that you can join us wherever you are and whoever you are part of God's family. So you are part of our family. Praise be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Here in this place, God welcomes all the dreamers as well as the doubters. Here, the warriors and the wanderers can call on God by name. Here in this time, we can remember all the ways God has graced us. Here in these moments, we are reminded that God is with us always. Here are gathered those daring enough to step out of comfort into the unknown. Here, in this faith space, we will find the courage to cry out, God save us in every situation. And we light the Christ candle, remembering, like Joseph and like Jesus, that God is above all. God saves us through the power of the Holy Spirit in the love of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. High King of Heaven, in endless mercy, you meet us where we are, in our troubles, in our darkness, in our loneliness. Pour out your holy light upon us as we come to you today, we pray. Deliver us from the gloom that threatens to envelop us. Save us from our tendency to self-sabotage. Fill us with the hope of resurrection, that we may be in your presence now and for all time to come. We pray confidently in the name of Jesus, the one who saves. Amen. Friends, we come to a time of confession, confident that Jesus has already done the work on the cross to save us in his mercy. Would you pray with me, offering our sins, our waywardness, up to God and his holy love? Gracious God, we confess that we do not always understand your ways. We are easily discouraged when life takes unexpected turns and our carefully laid plans and dreams come to nothing. We confess that we are quick to give up when things get difficult and quick to question your presence and your power. Forgive us. Grant us patience to wait for your good timing. Open our eyes to recognize your leading in our lives, to listen for your gentle whisper when we least expect it. And then give us courage to step out in faith and obedience, trusting in your leading, even when we cannot yet see the outcome. We praise you for your faithful love and pray that you would make us worthy to bear your name. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, two of the many, many gifts God bestows upon us are grace and pardon. When we confess to the things that we have done that we wished we hadn't done, and the things that we didn't do that we wish we had done, we are forgiven. Over and over and over again, we are a forgiven people. This is the peace of Christ. Celebrate that. And for those of you across Canada and elsewhere watching this service, I ask you to greet each other in the name of Christ. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from the book of Genesis. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. These are the descendants of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him an ornamented robe. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They've gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say the wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornamented robe that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, give us ears, hearts, and minds to hear and understand your will for us today. Amen. This morning, we're continuing our journey with Jacob, now an older man with at least two wives and many children. He's been renamed Israel after last week's wrestling match with God, and the biblical history continues to emerge. The sons of Israel, or Jacob, will become the 12 tribes or houses of Israel, and the Jewish nation takes more shape. Our story this week focuses on 17-year-old Joseph. He was the son of Jacob's beloved Rachel, and he is Jacob's favorite and youngest son, who walks around with this fabulous coat given to him by his dad. He brings a bad report back to his dad about how his older brothers are working. In short, he rats on his brothers to old Jacob, and they hate him because he's a rat and he's dad's favorite. There is a whole lot more to this story that is cut out of the lectionary reading this week. Joseph is a dreamer, and he has dreams. And for reasons known only to Joseph, he felt compelled to tell everyone about his dreams. "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to it." Nice dream. But that wasn't quite enough for Joseph. He wanted to tell everyone about another dream that he had. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were all bowing down to me." Oh, Joseph. His brothers hated him even more. They were jealous. And even his own dad, Jacob, rebuked him. "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? Prophetic words, as it turns out. You see, we are dealing with part one of a mini-series. Or if you remember those old-time shows we used to call serials, where you were left with a cliffhanger ending and you had to wait an entire week to find out if the hero was truly done in, or, well, come next week for the last installment and you may find out from Reverend Phil how it all ends. I've titled this sermon, Dreams Can Get You in Trouble, Talk to Joseph. Joseph obviously never read that famous bestseller by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Perhaps an alternate title for this homily could be Misreading the Room, a Primer, or Biblical Stories with Low Emotional of Persons with Low Emotional Intelligence. It may be hard for us to understand how much the stepbrothers hated Joseph. After all, they were his flesh and blood. How could they hate him so much that they wanted him dead? Well, strife in families is common to all ages. Back in the days of Joshua, retribution and violence were perhaps more common responses than they are today, perhaps. Simeon and Levi, two of Joseph's stepbrothers, had already murdered a large number of Hivite men in the city of Shechem because one of the people in Shechem had raped their sister Dinah. You can look that up in Genesis 34 for more on this treachery. It's quite a story. The power of emotional responses is huge. Bear with me as I tell you this story. When I came to St. Stephen's in 2007, Phil Spencer, the minister of that time, took an instant liking to me. He had me over to his house regularly. You know, often when elders of the church were busy cooking and serving meals and helping out with other ministries, he would take me out to lunch. He loved me so much, he gave me this amazing Bible. It's got all these streamers marking important passages in the Bible. It is such a beautiful gift that he gave me. When I saw the things that were going on at St. Stephen's, or elders who were not doing their best work for God, I would always let Phil know. Sometimes he'd send me to a meeting to see who the troublemakers were, and I would bring him up to date on what was going on. And you know, it was so wonderful. It was so cool to walk around with this Bible that Phil gave me with all the colored streamers. Oh, everyone adored this Bible, but I adored it more. It was such a great gift. And sometimes I had dreams, and one of the dreams I had was that I told folks in the ministry teams who were gathered and the elders at a special board meeting that I had this dream. I was going to be board chair, and everyone would stand up and applaud me and pat me on the back, even Phil. Don't you just love that dream? That was all fiction. Trust me, it never happened. But did you, for a moment, start to get uncomfortable, jealous, resentful, maybe even a bit angry? Joseph's story is not just about a 17-year-old who misreads the room, who lacks maturity, or perhaps lives in a family that has not recognized that this brother has Asperger's. It is a harrowing story of family tensions that just bubble and boil over. Despite a last-minute plan by Reuben to rescue his youngest brother, Joseph is sold as a slave. And the brothers collectively deceive old Jacob with the wild beast story supported by the bloody coat ruse. Jacob's heart is absolutely broken. After all, he sent Joseph out to check on his brothers and then to report back. He believes he is responsible for Joseph's death, and his grief is inconsolable. As we've followed Genesis over these past months, we've heard of other family tension and catastrophic strife between brothers. Think of Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau. We don't get to choose our families, rather, they're given to us, and it is difficult, sometimes very difficult, to be together. How often have you tried to fix a situation, as did Reuben in today's story, and it gets us nowhere? Beth Tanner provides this commentary on the Joseph story, which speaks to family dynamics, relationships, personal perspectives, both back then and in the present. She says this: Jacob's family story offers an opportunity to speak of estrangement and the consequences of rash acts. The story lets us see all the characters and their involvement in this drama. Estrangement is rarely one-sided. All of the brothers look at each other through the eyes of hurt and anger. Joseph may not see his actions as one of the reasons for his brother's contempt. The brothers see only their father's favoritism and their younger brother's youthful boasting. Joseph thinks of himself as better than his elders. She goes on to say, from a bird's eye view perspective, we can see the conflicts causing the problem in this story. This reading is a lesson in the name Israel. In order to survive this story, one must hang on and fight for the presence of God within the tension and harm done within this family of promise. It is not pretty, but it is real. Finally, I would add this. There is some foreshadowing in today's story. God decides to send his son, Jesus, into the world to be among his people, the family he loves. And there is strife. Jesus is listened to by some and rejected by others. Some are so threatened by what he says that they plot to kill him. Sound familiar? And even though Jesus is crucified, dies, and is buried, he lives on, and the family of believers, the church, grows, matures, and begins to understand Jesus' mission. Out of strife and suffering can come new beginnings. Out of loss can come hope. With forgiveness, anger can turn to peace, and love can emerge, and redemption can follow. I wonder, is this a message for us in family relationships? Can we search for the presence of God in the midst of tension and strife? Can we find hope that God has a plan for us, no matter how bleak things seem? Well, stay tuned. Reverend Phil will tell you how this part of Joseph's story ends next week. Does Joseph die a slave? Does Joseph survive somehow? What will God show us through part two of this story? Just wait. There's more. Much, much more. Amen.
Good morning. As we begin the prayers of the people today, I ask that you think about all of those who are leading, searching, struggling, and suffering in our world, and what we should collectively be asking for of God's grace and love to help and heal His people and the planet. I will offer a short silence at the end of each Lord, hear our prayers, for you to offer your own prayers. Let us pray. Good morning, amazing God. Thank you for being here with us today, as you are every day. We're very grateful for your many blessings bestowed on those of us who are worshiping in your church here in Oceanside this morning, those who are worshiping online from across this great country, and those who are unable to be with us today. We are so blessed by your amazing, never-ending love. Most compassionate Lord, we have great concern for your children around the world who are suffering from hunger, illness, oppression, war, and physical and mental abuse. We ask for your healing guidance and grace for all of those souls so that they might know they are not alone, but cradled in your loving embrace. We ask as well that you guide and support all of those who, in Jesus' steps, are providing food, shelter, clothing, and care for your children. Lord, we also want to raise our voices in support of those who are fighting to bring peace to the many embattled people of the world and those who are bringing medical care to those in need. Give them the strength to continue sharing their love and hope in your name with those who are often feeling very alone and without hope. Lord, hear our prayers. Most creative God, we are so in awe of your creation, from the great whales of the ocean to the tallest giraffe in the savanna, to the mighty and miniature birds of the air, to the forest and trees and mountains and prairies, and all of your amazing creatures of creation. We know that humans, as part of your creation, have not treated your garden as you would have hoped we could. We can do better with your guidance and presence in our decision-making. We know you have instilled in creation the ability of living things to recover and thrive if they are given a chance to do so. Teach us how to live in harmony with your creation and give us the wisdom to repair your garden to its full glory. Lord, hear our prayers. Great guiding God, we are constantly made aware of your word and the strength of your teaching. We often lead in ways that ingratiate ourselves and forget some of the key lessons that Jesus taught us when he lived among us as fully human. His many lessons of how to treat others are so profound, yet we often forget them when we get into a situation of authority. God, we ask that you provide guidance to those who are leading your church here in Oceanside and across the world, teaching them the message of love your neighbor as yourself. We ask that you instill wisdom in our political leaders here in Oceanside and in Victoria and across this great country of Canada. We beseech you as well to bring love to the forefront of the decision-making process of leaders in every country so that war and unnecessary suffering can come to an end and we can live as brothers and sisters in your love going forward. Lord, hear our prayers. Most gentle God, we all are concerned about the future world that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are growing up into. Help us all to receive the comfort of your love and grace as we guide your children into the future and as we care for our families. The future of your church here and around the world depends on children receiving and believing your love. We know you care. Help us to carry your message to the whole world. Lord, hear our prayers. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to know your will. And as we conclude our prayers this morning, we pray the words that Jesus taught his disciples to say, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends in Christ, your gifts, your talents, your tithes are all gratefully received. I ask that you pray with me now the offertory prayer, giving these gifts back to God for the building of his kingdom. God, you've given each one of us unique gifts and abilities and have called us to unique settings. just as you used Joseph's abilities to fulfill your purposes in Egypt long ago, we pray that you would use us too. Take our gifts, our time, and our resources. Use them and us as you see fit, so that through us your kingdom might come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we go today, let us commit to building each other up, our church family. Let us commit to building up the members of our genetic families. Let us strive to build bridges, not break bonds. With God's help and reassurance, let us strive to respond with kindness and understanding. Now, go forth in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. To dread, what have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms.